Well, good morning again, everyone. It's a pleasure to be able to come and speak for the final time on this series for the life of the world. It's been a bit quirky. I know some people are going, oh, it's a bit too quirky for me. That's okay. 99% of the rest of the population have understood it. It's quirky. And some people get that quirkiness and some people don't. It's actually one of those video series. I've actually watched each of the videos probably about 3 or 4 times, and every time I watch it, I get something more out of it. It is really, there are layers upon layers upon layers. It's a bit like a Sara Lee, you know, sort of cake, you know, layer upon layer upon layer. And it's been good. And today we get to the last one, which is the church. The church being the idea of being for the life of this world. And I'm going to get to that in just a few moments and speak more on that. Let me tell you, though, you ever hear someone say, oh, don't push my buttons, or the phrase to push someone's buttons? You've heard that phrase. It basically means, you know, when you touch a subject and it just sends people off on a particular direction. I'm going to reveal to you today my big button. If you want to turn mild-mannered Greg Harris into furious, uncontrolled, ballistic, and extremely sarcastic Greg Harris, then push this button. And what is this button? Well, I'll tell you that in a few moments. Got to keep you coming back, okay? So we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, and just a couple of verses out of Colossians chapter 1, because we get to this topic of church for the life of the world. And what we see in Colossians 1 is this great Christian hope. If you notice there in chapter 1, verses 21 to 22, it says, once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Once you were enemies of God, Paul says, me included. What made us enemies of God? Well, he makes it quite clear in verse 21, because of our evil behaviour. Now, when we hear the words evil behaviour, we're not talking about naughty things, okay, in inverted commas. We're talking about our evil behaviour in our minds. It is basically our rejection and rebellion against God. And I often put it this way. It is, we either ignore God at best, that's our best case scenario, ignore God. Our worst case scenario is we reject him completely. Okay, it's either one or the other, or anywhere in between. Do you know how when you often buy an electronic device or a computer or something like that from a shop, it comes with default settings, factory settings? And, you know, it's basically what they've done is they've set it all up with you with the basic settings so that you don't have to go and play with the advanced settings where it all gets very dangerous and is likely to go really bad. What are our factory settings? What are our default settings? Well, we often term it original sin, don't we? Our default setting is that we will ignore God at best or reject him at worst. But now, I love it when Paul goes, but now, verse 22, but now he, God, has reconciled you, us, by Christ's physical body through death. That's the Easter story, isn't it? That's what we celebrated last week. Through the physical death and resurrection of Jesus, God reconciles us to himself again. We are right with God again. We are on God's side, as it were. Sin is broken. The penalty has been paid. So now we just sit back. We sit back and wait till one day we get to go to heaven. And when we turn up, we will be issued with our little harp. And we will have our little wings, and we will sit on our little cloud and sing our little songs. And I'm hoping you notice there's a little bit of sarcasm in my voice. That's not what happens, is it? We've been reconciled by God through Christ, his physical body, into another body, a spiritual body. It's actually outlined for us in verse 18. Did you see what it says in verse 18? And he, now this is talking about Jesus, so, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Just stop and think about that for a second. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. What is the church? The church is the body, the spiritual body of Christ. It means that we're in more than just partnership with God. We are formed into our body. We are the spiritual body with Christ. Paul expands this a lot more in the book of Corinthians. That's where he often talks about, you know, we form a body, we're not all hands, we're not all feet, we're not all eyes, we're not all ears. All that gets expanded in the book of Corinthians, for instance. He says, you know, we're dependent upon each other. If we're all eyes, where would the sense of smell be? And so on and so forth. We have been gathered together into a spiritual body of Jesus now. Through his physical body, he reconciled us through the cross. And now, through his spiritual body, he continues. I want to ask you a question. Do you agree that God has a plan for this world? I'm hoping everyone's thinking yes. Okay. God has a plan for this world. Yes. How will he bring about his good purposes, his plan for this world? Well, the first step was through reconciling us through the physical body of God, of Christ on the cross. That was the first step. The second step is he will continue to establish his rule. How will he establish his rule now that Jesus has returned to the Father and sits at his right hand? How will he establish his rule? Who will be his representatives here on earth? See, for many Christians, I think they have this view that God has a plan for this world, and what the plan is at the end, he's just going to destroy the lot and start again. I call it the Noah plan, which is very much what Noah was. But that's not what the scriptures teach. In fact, the scriptures teach that God is transforming and changing the world. Let me give you a clear example. I can see in front of me a whole lot of people that God didn't scrap. He didn't scrap you, did he? He didn't scrap you and start again. He reconciled you through the physical body of Christ on the cross. You are a new creation, the scriptures say. The old is gone, the new has come. And each day, through what's called sanctification, each day, little bit by little bit, we become more like Christ. He didn't scrap you and start again. He changes. He transforms. And he does the same with this world. He transforms and changes this world, bringing about his rule. Now, here's the $64 million question, because it's a much bigger question than the $64,000 question. The $64 million question is, how or who or what is going to be the physical representation of God's rule here on earth? Insert pregnant pause. Survey says, the church. The church, the spiritual body of Christ, is the one now that plays its part in God's good purposes for this world. In God, through God, and with God. Through the physical body, Jesus saves us, and now through the spiritual body, you and I, here locally and throughout the world and across time. That just blows your mind when you think about being part of a church that goes across the world and through time at the same time. That's a bit sort of, you know, Doctor Who, wibbly wobbly till the time sort of stuff. But the problem is, I think people have this wrong idea of what church is all about. And by the way, you're getting really close to when you're going to find out what my button is that I don't like having pushed. Okay, we're getting close. We're not quite there yet. People have a wrong idea of church. For instance, some people have what I call the community service view of church, which is the church is there for hatches, matches and dispatches. And usually what happens is, by the way, hatches, matches and dispatches is, hatches is baptisms, matches is marriage and dispatches is funerals. Got it? See? Hatches, matches, dispatches. And the church is there in the community for hatches, matches, and dispatches. And you notice when a church has literally died and the church building is to be sold, and all of a sudden the community gets up in arms because, oh, what happened to our church? And how do you explain that the church died years ago? That's a wrong idea of what church is. It's not a community service in that way. Another wrong idea, and I'm hoping this is another idea that none of you share, is that church is Sunday worship. You know, we get together, we sing, we read, we break bread, we pray, we have morning tea, we do stuff for the kids, we get to encourage one another, that church is Sunday worship. Sunday worship is not church. Sunday worship is not church. Sunday worship is what churches do. See the difference? This is what they do. The church does get together Sunday and other days of the week too, and pray and sing and break bread and encourage one another. And I wonder if you can hear the tension and the passion in my voice starting to rise, because we're at the point now. You ready? We're at the point where I'm about to reveal that big button. Because there is another wrong idea that people have of the church. The church is like this organisation, institution, this out there, somewhere, amorphous blob. And the church should be doing X, Y, or Z. That is my big button. You want to see mild-mannered Greg Harris turn into sarcastic, somewhat flippant, and really cheesed off Greg Harris, then you push that button. And you know what? Sadly, too many Christians push that button. Too often I hear Christians saying, the church should be doing X, Y, and Z. In fact, I had some correspondence a little while ago. It was not from anyone in this church, not connected with this church. You won't know who they are. Please don't try and second guess who this is. But there was some correspondence, and they said, because in the correspondence they said, the church, sadly, is not doing X, Y, and Z. They added the word sadly to my normal expression. The church is sadly not doing X, Y, and Z. And I so wanted to write back. But more often than not, I can't control myself. Big deep breath, count to 10, think about what I was going to say, and then scribble that out mentally in my head. Because this is, I thought maybe I could share with you this morning what I thought I would have liked to have written back. Okay, you ready? Here you go. So this person has written, the church should be doing X, Y, and Z. My response? Oh! So you think the church should be doing X, Y, and Z. Can you please answer me the question, why aren't you doing X, Y, and Z? Because you're not so subtly saying, when you say the church should be X, Y, and Z, doing X, Y, and Z, Greg, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. And I've got A, B, C, D, and all the rest to do. So when are you going to do X, Y, and Z? Or are you just going to continue to sit there and lay back and not do terribly much because we pay you to do it? Have you forgotten what church is all about? Have you forgotten? Let me just turn the tables around a little bit. What about A, B, C, D, and E? Why aren't you doing A, B, C, D, and E? Oh, I know why you're not doing A, B, C, D, and E, because that's not very passionate and that's not very trendy for you. But I know lots of other Christians who are doing A, B, C, D, and E. And when they do A, B, C, D, and E, because that's what God has put upon their heart, do you know what? When they do A, B, C, D, and E, the church is doing A, B, C, D, and E. So can you please answer me the question, why aren't you doing X, Y, and Z? Because if you do it, then the church is doing it. Here endeth the lesson. Do you think that would have been a little bit strong if I'd written that back? Now, you might say, oh, Greg, you're just being silly. Am I? I know that each of us who are followers of Jesus, God puts things on our hearts and we feel deeply passionate about them. I know people who feel deeply passionate about overseas mission. And I know people who feel deeply passionate about helping the homeless or helping foster children. I know people who are deeply passionate about seeking out the people who late on Friday and Saturday nights are drunk and disorderly in the street and trying to make sure they get home. And I know people who are deeply passionate about seeing people come to Christ. And I know all these people, and do you know what? When they follow that deep passion that God has put on their hearts, when they do that, the church is doing it, because we can't do all of them, and God hasn't wired us to do all of them. But when we do whatever it is that God has put on our hearts, then the church is doing it. And I hope that there will be someone who does X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z is. See, that's the right idea of church. We are a body working together, a spiritual body working together. And what we've seen over these last couple of weeks as we've looked at this series is that God actually has a plan for the life of this world. And that plan is seen throughout the scriptures. What was there in the beginning, he wants to see there at the end. And so that's why we talked about how the importance of family and love. Do you remember the bags of compost up the front? How can you forget the bags of compost? Family and love are like compost to a healthy garden. It's where you start. And then we looked at, remember, work and creative service and how work is not a necessary evil. I know it's hard to get up on Sunday morning sometimes and go, but it's not a necessary evil. It's actually us being involved in this incredible network that God brings about for the work and for the life of this world. And we talked about how we needed to do it, these have been the other weeks, how we needed to do it with order and with wisdom and with justice and with just a pinch of wonder. Remember that? God's purpose for this world is to see life in this world, and guess what? Guess where it starts? Here. Right here in his church. Right here we begin with family and love and creative service and work, with justice and order and wisdom and a pinch of wonder. We don't just go out and preach it, we live it. Family. That's what we saw in that gospel reading we had. You remember Jesus on the cross? You heard in that reading. He's on the cross. And what does he say to his mother Mary? Here is your son. He doesn't point, his arms are nailed. But he says, here is your son, and to John, here is your mother. Family, beginning there in the first church. Right here, God begins to bring about his kingdom rule in this world, in the church, and then through the church into the world. In the church, and then through the church into the world. Right now, and not yet at the same time. In fact, it's one of the great tensions of the Christian faith, isn't it? The now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. Right now, we have been reconciled with God. Right now, we have been gathered as one family. Right now, we live out God's plan for this world. Right now, we do it with order and wisdom and justice and wonder. Right now, we are God's gift to this world. Believe it or not, right now we are God's gift to this world. But you might say, Greg, have you seen the church? Nice dream, but have you seen it? Beaten and bruised. Have you heard what's come out of the Royal Commission? Yes, I have, and that's another button you don't want to push. When I start to think about those who have done such great harm. There's a tension right now, and then not yet, that which is still to come, that which will be revealed in all its glory. And the church is the living, breathing example of that. Right now we are reconciled with God, and yet not yet we are there. We are still day by day being transformed into the image of Jesus. Now and not yet. that slide up on the screen with the acorn. Have you ever wondered why the acorn's been in that image the whole time? See, an acorn's a pretty big seed. Imagine I sort of, this is pretend time, imagine I've got an acorn here between my fingers and I say to you, what do you see? You see an acorn. And I say, but do you see the tree? No, I see an acorn. No. Do you see the tree? Because everything the tree will be is in the acorn. It's already there. It's right there now. But not yet. And we're like acorns. And the church is like an acorn. Now, with all the potential and all that God is going to do, just not yet fulfilled in all its glory. But right now, you and I, we breathe and live what God is doing. Right here, we display love. And we do that by forgiving one another. Right here, we display what it means to work. And we talked about that this morning. And that's why we see that our work is not just putting food on the table, but it's actually being part of God's plan for this world. And right now, we make sure there is order by continuing to work with one another. Right now, we make sure there is justice and we weep with those who weep. And right now, with a pinch of wonder, we worship in spirit and truth. And did you notice I said we all the way through it? Right now, we. Because it is we, isn't it? For when we get together as the spiritual body, and when we live and breathe all that God is doing, all that is now and not yet, then we are indeed God's gift to this world for the life of this world. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your great gift to this world, of your Son who gave his life, and Lord, your church who lives and breathes this new life in order to bring life to the rest of this world. May we indeed, Lord, be your ambassadors. May we indeed know and understand, in order that your name be glorified and your kingdom come. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.